Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
And blessings, love, and light. And welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, author, holistic nutritionist, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. So glad that you are here. And if this is your first time on the How Now podcast, welcome. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com, pick your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. And you can also scroll to the bottom of the page. And if you click on the banner for this week's show, it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure you hit that notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. Okay, so let's get started with tonight's show, where we're going to be talking about women in jazz. Okay, we want to talk about the industry, talk about women in music and the importance of where they are in the industry, how women are showing up in music, and what that means to us as a society. To help me to talk about that is my lovely guest to my left and to your right. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Hello there.
Well, hello, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here. And my name is Dr. Joan Cartwright, and I am the founder and executive director of Women in Jazz South Florida. To distinguish it from International Women in Jazz in New York and Women in Jazz Association in Austin, Texas, and lots of other women in jazz organizations. So I founded this organization in 2007. To gather the women musicians together and get their music heard by multitudes. And we have a website, wijsf.org. We publish two magazines, musicwomanmagazine.com and musicmanmagazine.com. And they are annual publications, not monthly. So that's the introduction.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Dr. Joan, and for, you know, all that you do. Now, you said that, you know, you talked about the foundation and being the founder of, you know, the Women in Jazz Foundation of Florida. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your background. Are you as an artist?
Okay, so I began singing at 4. Wow. And I cut it off at 67. So for 63 years, on and off, I was on and off of a lot of stages. I've been in 20 countries. I don't know how many states, but I lived in Switzerland for 2 years. I toured Europe for 8. I've been to South Africa, Ghana, the Gambia, and then South America, Mexico. Trying to remember where else I've been, but I've been a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I'm a composer of music, lyrics and instrumental music. And my most famous recorded pieces called Sweet Return, recorded by Freddie Hubbard and the Cool Jazz All-Stars of 1983 on Atlantic Records. Other than that, I claim to be the first woman in the world with a jazz and blues song book. So I'm an author also. I've written 14 books. And one of them is my memoir called In Pursuit of a Melody. I wrote a history book about jazz and blues. And I wrote a book called Amazing Music Women that has 40 women musicians. Many of them are singers. What a lot of people don't know is that a lot of singers are not really musicians. They can interpret a song, but many of them don't know the theory of music. They don't write music, but they interpret other people's songs. So I gather the women that write music, compose music, and I have a podcast on Blog Talk Radio that I've hosted since 2008. And I interviewed well over 400 women, but there are about 155 interviews there now at blogtalkradio.com/musicwoman. So I've trademarked Music Woman, and we did a lot of events before COVID. So I'll just leave it there.
Carry on. That is an impressive background that you have, like you said, in music, because most people, like you said, they are either, you know, performers, they sing, or they play an instrument. But like you said, it takes a special person, like you said, to be able to compose and to interpret and, you know, to write music. And there's so much more that goes into it. And especially when I think of jazz music, because it's so expressive. You know, it's not necessarily like R&B or necessarily like rap music or anything like that. It's a special flavor that jazz music has. And so, you know, it's wonderful to be able to do that. And then when I think about that, to be able to blend not just the lyrics, but the music, the sound, you know, and bring that all together. That takes a special person to be able to do that. So that's quite an impressive career that you have. 63 years. You started when you were 4 years old. That's impressive. And that's a lot to be able to do. And in saying that, you know, like you said, you don't hear about many women that do that, because is jazz, in your opinion, considered more of a male-dominated industry?
The truth is that, okay, the question is, where were you the first time you heard music? Where were you?
I was at home.
No. You weren't at home. You could have been at home, but you weren't like sitting on the couch. Where were you the first time you heard music?
I have a better answer, and I don't know if it's right or not, but probably in my mom's womb.
That's right. That's right, because that's the first place you were when you had ears.
That's right.
So the blood rushing through her veins was the strings, and the heartbeat was the drum. And she was probably humming or singing. So every human being, the first musical instrument that they encountered was their mother. Okay. So the next question is, why do women only earn 20% of the $40 billion music industry? And there are two reasons for that. The first reason is that men tend to hold the reins of power. And music is a very powerful, it's probably the most powerful mechanism on the planet outside of breathing. Okay. So men hold the reins of power, and they discovered that music is very powerful. Yes. So the second reason is that women don't have great business skills. Okay. And it is called the music business. So if you don't have good branding, marketing, teamwork, networking, negotiation, and accounting skills, you're going to be left out of earning in the music industry. Okay. So who earns in the music industry? Well, let's not talk about right now. Let's talk about when I was coming up. So performers, producers, music producers, publishers, then musicians that get their music picked up for films, television, commercials. So this was a closed circuit. It was a good old boy network, okay? Now, generally, when we think good old boy, we think white men. But jazz is a good old black boy network. There were not too many musicians that embraced women. So Sarah Vaughan played piano for Billy Eckstein. Mary Lou Williams arranged music for Duke Ellington. Melba Liston and Dexter Gordon were a team. They wrote and performed music together. Then there was Billie Holiday and the drummer, Philly Joe Jones. And I sang with him in Philadelphia. So I am a living witness to the jazz scene since the late 60s. Okay. And I met almost every jazz musician that was living. So I didn't meet Coltrane and I didn't meet Billie Holiday, but I did meet Ella, Sarah, Carmen, Nancy Wilson, Gloria Lynn, just the singers, to name the singers. But I've met Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, George Benson, just, you know, a long list of musicians. And you meet most of them in Europe. You don't get access to them here the way that you do there. Okay. So in the 8 years that I toured Europe, I got to meet an extensive list of musicians. But that was even after Freddie Hubbard recorded my tune.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, it's interesting, now, because like you said overseas and then here in the U.S. Was there a difference in acceptance between, traveling abroad as opposed to here in the States?
Yes. There's a huge difference. First of all, Europeans have a special love for blues and jazz, okay? And the ones who really understand it make a lot of money off of it, a lot. I'm talking millions and probably billions. But the musicians themselves are not making that money. You know, they look like they're really racking up, but the tour itself costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right. And the record companies deduct that money from what they earn. So I was never with a record label. I was a B-list jazz singer. And I preferred that because nobody told me where I had to go, what I had to sing. I chose my own repertoire. I wrote my own songs. I didn't work at, you know, the big festivals, but I worked at big hotels like the Beau-Rivage Palace in Lausanne, Switzerland, the Montreux Palace in Montreux. And then I toured Italy for 4 years with my pianist, Giovanni Mazzarino. And he was the first one to produce my first CD. He produced my first CD. Uh-huh. So you know, I had an illustrious and wonderful career, but I was B-list. I wasn't Diane Reeves, Dede Bridgewater, Cassandra Wilson, you know, the next generation. But I did build a repertoire, a reputation, because I wrote music.
Wow. You see, and there's so much that, you know, there's so many intricacies that come with that, because there are so many people producing music, and you have so many different types of music. You have people who are indie style, you know, people who do a lot of underground music. You have a lot of people who are on different circuits. And so it's just so interesting to see the dynamics, because just like you said, most of us tend to know the A-list, the people whose names we hear, you hear names, you, oh yes, I know that person. Yeah, I know that person. I know that person. Then they say your name and it's just like, oh, you'll have a select few, but oh yes, I know who that is. They've heard of you. They know who you are, you know, by your music, because there are so many other avenues that people can go down in which to get their music heard. And so, you know, it's interesting. And that's why I was curious about the dynamic of how music is different, or how it's accepted in, you know, abroad as opposed to here in the States, you know. And like you said, to be able to travel, like you said, Italy, 4 years. I mean, I'm just like, you know, and then of course, you know, as a person who is a novice and doesn't know anything, I'm like, well, where'd you stay? Because yeah, you have to make it up to be able to stay there for that long. I mean, because you stayed there consistently for the 4 years, correct?
No, I stayed in Switzerland consistently, but I would tour Europe. I'd go for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And then they were responsible for putting me up. Gotcha. You know, I stayed in a little tiny hotel in Switzerland called the Gerlefinkerhof.
Wow.
But several of my friends who lived there, they had nice apartments, but I saw no reason to get an apartment because I wasn't going to stay. You know, I knew I wasn't going to stay. So when I came back home, I had to think of ways to make a living, because somebody sat at a table with club owners here and told them that musicians were only supposed to make $100 a night. Yeah, it is really bad. Okay. So, I mean, the clothing that I wore cost more than $100.
Right.
So America is a very fickle fan, very fickle. Mm-hmm. It's always about what's next, you know. And then you have all these jazz festivals that have no jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I love Gladys Knight, but she's not a jazz singer, but she's heading up a lot of jazz festivals. Chaka Khan became the queen of jazz, and Chaka never sang jazz in her life until Echoes of an Era with Herbie Hancock, you know, but that was Quincy Jones doing, you know. So the producers are really the ones that define the music.
Wow.
Even though the music, the truth about the blues is that it is the tears of Black women. It is the tears of a Black woman whose husband is not coming home because he's laying face down in a river shot in the back. Or he's hanging from a tree. Or he's headed for points north for freedom and he's never coming back. That is the blues. The blues is not B.B. King, Chuck Berry. It is Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith. It is Black women's complaint about their status in this country. Okay. So then the blues took a trip to England with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And then all of a sudden it morphed into rock and roll. Well, I say that jazz, the child of the blues, is the new cotton product. Because everybody makes money off of jazz, except jazz originators. Okay. And that was a problem because so many of them were using drugs, heroin. And they, Quincy Jones told me in an interview for my master's paper that they used drugs because they couldn't come in the front door of the clubs where they were singing, performing. Miles Davis went outside at the Village Vanguard and got beat up by policemen. You know, so it's been a rough road. And jazz musicians who were originators of the music rarely benefited economically from the music. So think of Billie Holiday. She was the first Black woman to perform at Carnegie Hall. And the FBI wore her down, pulled her off the stage, and took her to jail and handcuffed her to a bed in an insane asylum because she had a drug problem. Well, she got the drug problem from her agent. The agent didn't go to jail. She went to jail. You know, so we live in a very unfair, inequitable society. And even today, women of color, Black women, are on the lowest rung, but all of the creativity comes out of them.
And they're an integral part of our economy as well.
Well, they're an integral, yeah, but there's still not. It wasn't until the hip hop musicians came out that musicians were really earning money, and they were still appropriating music from the originators. You know, they didn't come up with anything new. It's sampling and a beatbox.
Yeah, I was going to say that, right. You know,
and the thing about it is the messages that are in men's music is different than the messages in women's music. Men's music tends to be aggressive, competitive, and degrading of women. You know, whereas women's music is nurturing and it creates community, you see. So the power
we've been seeing some of that morphing, unfortunately, you know, when we look at some of our artists of today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so different, you know.
Well, when you look at the fact that at the Essence Music Festival, they had an entire twerking scene. You know, I mean, this doesn't represent me. I don't think it represents you. So what are we saying here? You have 14, 15 women up on stage twerking at the Essence Music Festival. So we don't respect ourselves, and other people don't respect that either. You know, but I'm considered an old lady and I have old-fashioned ways, you know. But I never had to take my clothes off to earn a living in music.
Right. Yeah. And then just like you said, and to not be acknowledged for establishing the roots of the music, just like you said, a gift. It is a gift that we've been given from before we were even born. Like you said, to be exposed to music and to, you know, to lay that foundation. And then to see it, you know, it's like somebody took a jackhammer and just like, and just, you know, cracked up and busted up that foundation that was built. So I definitely can see where, you know, it has to be disheartening at times, you know.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. It's worse than disheartening. So I wrote another book called Blues Women, the First Civil Rights Workers. Wrap your head around that. So they said, Ma Rainey said, I'm not three-fifths of a person. I'm a whole person. And you're going to love me. You see. So not only did they love people like her, Big Mama Thornton, and, you know, the Alberta Hunter, Bessie Smith. The names are not coming to me right this minute. But these women kicked down the doors of racial discrimination in the entertainment business. Nina Simone. Then Nina Simone joined forces with Miriam Makeba from South Africa. So it's always been about the message of freedom, the message of democracy, you see. But we live in a very unfree and undemocratic society. You know, and that's everywhere. That's not just here. It looks good. Women are stepping up to the plate, those of us who have had husbands. But, still, the girls are out there still fighting battles. You look at Janelle Monáe and Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill. What are their messages? You know, call Tyrone. Don't call me. Call Tyrone. Mm. Because you're not going to do the things that I require, you see. And so we're always setting the standard for how women should be treated, even though Black women have been the most ill-treated women in America, certainly.
Yeah. So when I think about that, I can say, you talked about having an illustrious or a long career in music, and then, like I said, you retired, and
I was tired. Yeah. I mean, just think about this. Women, men, they don't have this, okay? You got a girdle, you got makeup.
Right.
You got contact lenses,
right?
Some wigs, and then high heel shoes. Men don't have any of that.
None of that.
And a woman has to get up there, smile. Your feet are killing you. The girdle's cutting you. The eye makeup is bleeding into your eyes, mixing with the contact lens.
Right.
You are in pain. Okay. So you start out with a Tylenol, and then you wind up, why do women drink?
Right. Wow. So like you said, that's right. You retired, but you're tired.
Right.
Okay. So makes sense.
Now you suffer from several isms.
Mm.
Okay. The first one, of course, is racism.
Yes, right.
Then the second one is womanism. Then the third one is ageism.
Ageism. Mm-hmm.
So you're getting punched from every direction.
Every angle. The trifecta. it's fascinating to me. Like you said, you suffer through that. And then, like you said, you get to the point of being tired. And you're just like, okay, sure. You know, I've done this. And you figure out, okay, what is my legacy? Just like you said, women, we have a story. There's always been a message. There's always been something that has been expressed through our music, right? And so tell me when it was that you decided to start this foundation. Was it shortly after you retired, or were you seeing some things and you just finally said, hey, you know what? I think there's more that needs to be said.
I started this organization. Well, I started the Jazz Women Directory, which has 100 women, in 1997.
Okay.
Okay. By 2007, I had been giving these lectures to third graders and up on women musicians, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Toshiko Akiyoshi. I have a book, but there were 10 women in this presentation. And I would take it to, like I said, the third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, then they libraries, and colleges and universities. So I founded Women in Jazz South Florida Incorporated to be able to get paid as a nonprofit.
Gotcha.
Because I was delivering a service, an educational service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you think about, you know, how many of them do you see in textbooks, like you said, in schools and things? Some of them, the only way that I knew some of them was by seeing them on the African American calendars that used to come out, or the calendars that used to come out for Black History Month. And they used to have those calendars that would have different people in it. That would be the only way that we were able to see some of them, or to even be exposed to some of the entertainers.
That's right.
And so I think there were many who, like you said, fell through the cracks and never had their story told, because where was the platform for it to be told?
Right.
So
Right.
it's wonderful, like you said, that you're writing publications, and that you've written publications, and that you were educating people, because that's something that you know is not common, you know. Yeah, there's no one to tell a story. And that's something that to me is so important, you know, that we're able to tell a story, that we're able to leave a legacy, you know. And a lot of our stories are, you know, our storytellers are no longer around. And so some of those stories that are being told have to be told through the music.
Right.
Just like they were of old, you know. And so
Right.
there's so much in that. And so to me, there's an importance in preserving that, because people need to know, just like you
Yes.
said, it was the tears of African American women.
That's right.
The blues, the jazz, all of that, you know? And just like you said, there has to be a way in which to keep that preserved and to bring to light, you know? And then also
today. I'm part of a global Women in Jazz Hang, and it is run by a woman from South Africa. Well, there's a difference in African music and jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the improvisation that took place, because even today, the very few people are creating new riffs. The riffs were created by people like Satchmo and Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, but a lot of people don't know that bebop was started by a woman, Mary Lou Williams. She kind of discovered the flatted fifth. Mm-hmm. So a flatted third makes a blue note, but the flatted fifth is like a bridge that they can walk over. Okay. Yes. So, you know, she didn't get the credit that she should have gotten for creating bebop. But all the men, they took it and they ran with it. Okay. So we have to speak for ourselves, because we don't have anybody to speak for us as women in jazz. And you're always like off to the side. But see, when I started, I was with a Latin jazz band in Philadelphia. It was eight men and me. And I just got tired of the bump, 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 bump. I got tired of that. I wanted to swing. Okay. So I started my own band in Philadelphia, became my own leader. This is about 1979, 80. And I led my own bands up until I went to Switzerland. And the Italian musician came and got me and took me to Italy. Then he became my musical director. But up until then, I was my own leader. And you have to be your own leader, because otherwise you're just the chick singer.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And even in China, I was there for 5 months, and the Chinese drummer, who couldn't speak English, but he managed to tell me that I could only sing one of my original songs per set. He would never tell Freddie Hubbard that. Wow. He would never tell Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, you can only do one of your own. Never in a million years would they talk to a man the way that they talk to me. Wow. You see? So we live in a very separatist world, and music, I would say that there's two institutions in this country that are separatists. The church, because that's the most racist day of the week, Sunday, and jazz.
That's a lot. And it says a lot. You know, I'm thinking, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you talking about, you know, going and, you know, being able to tour and things like that. And then talking about being, you know, having a business acumen to be able to do things like that, because you have to be able to negotiate where you're going to perform and things like that. And what kind of experience was that for you? Because, you know, it's like you said, it's male dominated, because they're thinking that you don't have business acumen. How do you go in and just say, hey, this is what, you know, I'd like to perform here? What did that look like?
Well, I learned how to do that in Philadelphia, in New York, and Florida. You know, so I was a musician is looking for a job every day of their life. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I knew how to do that. I knew how to negotiate because my mother was a businesswoman. So, you know, she taught me a lot. But most of the singers did not make the money that I made because they didn't demand it.
Gotcha.
You know, they were making 100. I wanted 150, 175. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't pay me, I was fine. I'll stay home. And if they wanted me on the stage, they had to pay me that money. And a whole lot of them couldn't do what I could do because I put my dress up and sing the blues. That's what I did. I learned that from Alberta Hunter and them. You know, the thing about where we are right now is we have an organization with 430 members. Mm-hmm. 75 are men that support our mission to promote women musicians globally. 275 are musicians. Mm-hmm. And the rest are people that support us, like you. Right. So on October the 24th, we will have our fundraiser in McDonough, Georgia. Well, I'm living in Georgia with my daughter right now. I left Florida. But actually, I'm in Florida right now. Because I'm taking care of a friend who's just had surgery. So October the 24th, which is a Tuesday night, we will have the Music Woman magazine launch and fundraiser. Well, we're trying to raise funds to print our 2023 magazines because of COVID, printing doubled. So where we would get our supply for 2,500, now we need 5,000 just to get the magazines. So what did I do during COVID? Well, we had published the magazine in 2019, then 2020 hit.
Right.
And I think it was 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. No, it was 19 that we put the first one out. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, we put Music Man magazine out. Okay. So it's out. You could go online to musicwomanmagazine.com and musicmanmagazine.com and read the online version. But there's nothing like that physical paper, you know. That's like we have digital money, but there's nothing like money in your pocket.
That's right.
So each year we have a theme. And like in 1 year we had women who pluck strings. So that was violin, bass, guitar, cello, harp. This year, it's singers and horns.
Nice.
Okay. And each magazine has singers and horns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so do you have some things like, you know, we hear about, because, you know, we have to have smooth jazz stations, to have stations that are here now. Do you have any of those entities who or artists who, you know, have tried to partner with you all for events like this?
Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Because, you know, jazz doesn't make money in this country either.
Right.
The festivals make money, but they don't make money for the artists. They make money for the producers. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So there's a radio station in Chicago, WHPK, and the host of one of the slots is Alvin Carter Bay. I met Alvin several years ago. He was responsible for getting a street in Chicago named Dinah Washington Way.
Wow.
And so he brought me there to talk about Dinah Washington. Okay. And her family was here too. So in 2021, he did 8 articles on men who were very popular, Ahmad Jamal and Jimmy Cobb and Monty Alexander, eight men. So that has his picture on the cover. Now, for this fundraiser, Reagan Whiteside is one of our featured artists.
Yes.
She's with WCLK.
Yes.
Well, I just did an interview with Curran Sims from WCLK. And hopefully that'll draw some of the people, you know, from Atlanta.
Yeah, and that's so, it. Because some of you are seeing our jazz stations go away. Because that was something, I support WCLK. You know, I'm a you know, member support, you know, for that. And yeah, you were seeing some of them, because there were a lot of jazz stations that we were seeing around. And all of a sudden they were gone. Because at one point in Atlanta, it was like they were gone. And I was like, you know, you turn on your radio and I was like, where'd my jazz station go?
Well, that's around the country. But that was because of smooth jazz. See, smooth jazz was invented because jazz is a thinking person's music. Okay. It's not rock and roll. It's not hip hop. It is a thinking person. Most people can't even take the vibration of jazz. Okay. So back around 1980, the smooth jazz started coming in. And that was so that the white musicians could have a gig, you see. Okay. But here come the black musicians who didn't want to learn theory. They didn't want to go to school to learn music. They didn't want to have a mentor, a teacher. They just wanted to blow. Okay, so this is how. So it's more or less diluted jazz. Well, it's like anything else. If you dilute it, sooner or later, people are going to wake up to the fact that this is not the real thing. And it's going to disappear. And it did. It was out there for 20 years. I watched it. Meanwhile, the musicians were being dumbed down because they were only playing 2 chords. No. So it's places like the high school jazz bands. This is where a lot of the musicians were coming from. However, they took music out of the schools.
Yeah.
So who was in jazz bands? Mostly white kids. And I'm sorry, they do not originate, they
Right.
imitate. And
Right.
people can argue with me about this if they want to. But this is why the bulk of jazz musicians are Black people, because we are creators.
But you're right. You don't see it in schools as much. I was in the jazz band when I was in high school. I played first chair. I played the clarinet for 10 years. And yeah, I mean, that was last time. Like I said, that was back in the 80s. And after that, you didn't hear too much about jazz bands anymore. You know, we had the regular band. And then we also had the jazz band that played, and it, you know, it was a separate entity, you know. And
But
now you
what
just
happened? Why didn't you continue playing music?
I didn't when I went to go to college and I went to go and audition for the band, I felt threatened. So I stopped. But I played for years. I had played from the time I was in, you know, in fifth grade. I played all the way through high school.
What did you feel threatened by?
By the other people who were there, by the other students who were playing. I was like, I'm not good enough. And I stopped. I stopped.
Yeah,
I was given a
but
I
you
was given
were
a B flat clarinet, and it got flooded in my basement at home. My basement flooded in New York, and the teacher had given me a wood grain clarinet because I was first chair my junior and senior year, and it got ruined. And I took it as a sign. I was like, I'm not supposed to play anymore. And I stopped.
Wow.
And it's
Seeing
unfortunate.
why
Yeah.
women's music is not heard, because this is a normal story. After high school, most women drop their instrument. They're not encouraged. Their parents think that music is not a
And we're not going to get a
vocation.
scholarship for it. That's what we felt.
Right? And the teachers, even the teachers, don't encourage the women, the girls, you know.
Right.
So it's a multiple, it's a multifaceted problem. But we still need to increase the amount of money that women earn in the music industry.
Absolutely.
Now, they think that by making women A&R people, that does it. No, that's not a musician. That's somebody who handles musicians.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you look at who do you have in the music world now. So you got Regina Carter, the violinist, and Karen Briggs, violinist. Then you got Gail Johnson, who used to be Norman Brown's musical director, but she's also the leader of Jazz in Pink. Then you've got Kim Clark in New York with Lady Got Chops. This is in March. She she does a calendar of all the gigs that women have in the month of March, but she's a phenomenal bassist.
Wow.
So she works with women in New York. But most of the women that are making a mark are singers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a matter, like you said, of keeping that awareness, because like I said, you're speaking of all of these different foundations that are all over, or organizations that are across the country. And then I'm thinking, how many of them have I heard of?
You haven't,
Yeah.
because getting funding is like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
pulling teeth. They'll get funding for like a concert series. So the concert series, you have three or four concerts in the spring. Well, what about the rest of the year? You know, what about the rest of the year? And here again, the white women will get the money, not the Black women. This happens so much. You know, that it's just blatant. It's blatant,
wow.
You know, and you just get to the point. I wrote grants for 10 years. I just wrote 3 grants this year that I just wanted to chop my head off. I just wanted to stop.
Right.
I don't want to do this anymore, you know.
Right.
But I got a lot of money in the 90s for touring, you know, for doing local
Right.
educational programs.
Wow. Yeah. It's like you said, it's important that we continue in our efforts to, bring about the awareness and to, like you said, get the funding so that way the education and all those things can still be out there. Now, the event that you're having on October 24th, like you said, to launch the magazine and to recognize, artists and things like that. Something special is happening during that event as well for you, isn't it?
Yeah, my daughter put me on a list of people to get an award for lifetime achievement. But
Absolutely.
we have members of the Atlanta Black Chambers that will be recognized for their business dealings. Also, I want to mention Rita Graham, who was formerly with Ray Charles. She'll be performing. And
Wow.
then Eric Antonio Giles and his saxophone. He's featured in Music Man magazine.
Nice.
And then my daughter and her daughter have a hip hop group called The Ma and Pop Show. And so they'll be performing too.
Awesome, awesome. Well, first, I want to say congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award, because
Thank you.
clearly, like I said, that just in this hour that we spent together, all of the stories, all of the rich heritage, legacy, things that you've talked about are so important to the fabric of our life and of who we are as women, as African American women. And it's a story that, like you said, gets tossed to the wayside, doesn't get told as often, and as with the richness and the beauty that the music that was established with it brings. And so, I love that you have this foundation, that you're doing these things in an effort to bring that awareness, And so I'm happy to hear that you're going to be saluted. I'm definitely wanting to get some information to make sure that when we do have this show air, that people know how to find out about getting tickets if they are in the Georgia area, if they're in this area during that October season, where they can come out
Or
and
they can just
support
make a
this.
donation.
Hey, that we'll take
And
that too.
they can go to musicwoman, one word, dot eventbrite.com. Musicwoman.eventbrite.com. And if they go to our website, wijsf.org, scroll down and there's a flyer, a pink flyer, and the QR code will take them to the tickets. And it's
Wonderful.
also a QR code to join the organization.
Very good. And in that way, they can continue to give throughout the year and things. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
And we need angels. We need
Yes.
angels because we have a $60 membership, but out of the 430 people, maybe a third pay their dues, you know, because I don't pressure them. Because so many women musicians just don't have extra money. You
Right.
know, people
Right.
don't see women musicians as a cause, but
Wow.
women earn 78 cents to the dollar that men earn. Women musicians earn 64 to 68 cents to the dollar that a male musician earns.
Wow. And something needs to be done about that. Like you said, we have to keep putting it out there. We have to keep creating platforms like this where we can talk about this,
Yeah.
where we can, continue, like you said, to raise the awareness, because we don't want to lose jazz, like you said. We don't want it to be the watered down version. We want to go back to its roots, because it's such a beautiful type of music. It's such a beautiful, it, there's so much, like I said, there's so much steep in it. There's so much history in it. And it's something that I don't want to see us lose that. I don't want to see us lose that. And we're seeing watered down versions and things being digitized and all this AI and other things like that. Are we going to lose music to the digital world, or are we going to
We've
keep
already lost music to the digital world. We
the
it's lost.
one?
If you go into the junior high and high school, you don't see women in these bands. And if you do, it's white women. Black girls are burdened with survival issues.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking about music. They're thinking about a job. And they don't see that you can make a living. I mean, I was a legal secretary for 25 years. You know, it was an attorney who became a patron that sent me to Europe to perform.
Wow.
You know, so
wow.
you have to know what your dream is. And then you have to know how to get your dream too.
Yeah. And those are encouraging words for our lovely brown girls who are out there who need to hear that. Need to hear that.
That's right.
You know? Well, it's like I said,
they need to understand that they are the location of originality.
Yeah.
You understand? Everybody is copying off of them. Even the boys. Even the boys. Okay. So we need to step up with the sisters in music.
Yes. Okay. And well said. Okay. You heard it right here from Dr. Joan Cartwright. Yeah. So with that, I'd like to say thank you so much for coming and
well,
sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Oh,
I
my goodness.
This.
Yes. Yes. Because like I said, such a rich conversation and an opportunity for us to come out and to support you, you know, this coming, you know, in the next coming weeks. So we want to definitely make sure that people reach out, that people support, that people make contributions. That's definitely something that's going to assist in this effort. Okay. It's
okay,
like I said,
you have a ball for your anniversary too.
Thank you so much. Like I said, it's just, you know, we're going to make sure that people know about the website again, www.wijsf.org. And if you're interested in the event that's coming up October 24th, what time will that event be?
It's 7 to 10.
7 o'clock, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And
you can go to
it's catered. So there's
very
a meal.
Nice.
The ticket
right,
is,
so you're gonna come
is a
me.
Meal ticket plus a show. So you get dinner
right.
And a show. So
right,
but you
right.
Want
to
get
you
the
get
$20 tickets now because that's going to go away October the 1st.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So make sure that you jump on that ticket too. And that's at www.musicwoman.eventbrite.com.
And don't put the www. Just
put musicwoman.eventbrite.com.
Okay. Yes.
We're going to have it in the description so people will know how to get in contact. We'll have it right. So that way they can come out. And again, congratulations on being honored for your lifetime achievement.
Thank
and for
you.
All that you have done in this music industry to add to the richness of it. We appreciate that. We honor and we salute you for that. You know,
Thank you.
I know it's going to be a lovely evening, and if the stars align properly, I'll be there to support you. I definitely
okay,
will.
That'll be wonderful.
Okay, that's a plan. That is a plan.
We need to meet each other anyway.
Yes,
I'll be back in Atlanta next week. Not this
very
week.
Good.
Next week.
Very good. Very
okay.
Good. So we'll definitely make sure that we connect. Okay.
Yes.
Before I ask, usually before I end the show, I always ask the question of, how are you living in the now? What is something that you do to create your peaceful existence?
Age gracefully.
I love it. Love it.
Age gracefully. I have 2 children, 5 grands, and 9.5 great-grandchildren.
All right.
4 ex-husbands. So, and I teach. I'm a professor of graphic design and desktop publishing, but I taught for 6 years public speaking. So I'm a professor.
Nice, nice. Okay, so she said, tell them again what you told them to do. Age what?
Gracefully.
Gracefully.
Yeah, you
Okay.
should have a contest for them to tell you how old I am.
Okay. Look, might just have to do that. Might have to do that. We're gonna work on it. We're gonna work on it. Okay.
Okay.
But yes, like I said, any other parting words that you'd like to leave with us
Yeah.
before, leave with the listeners before we go?
Keep your dream close to your heart, and your mind will know the answer. While your soul plays the chords, your imagination can be the dancer.
I love it. I love it. Again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr.
Thank
Joan.
you.
Thank you. You are now officially part of the How Now family. You are always welcome to come back anytime you're ready, because what's happening in your now, what's going on 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 months, 2 years from now is not what's happening right now. So you're always welcome back to let us know what's going on in your now. And again, thank you so much for being with me, for
Thank
spending
you.
time, and we look forward to having an opportunity to connect yet again. All right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. And
Thank
that will
you,
do it.
Norma Stanley. Thank
Yes.
you.
And shout out to my girl Norma Stanley for connecting us and for bringing this level of awareness. She is a musician herself, and we give her props. So props to you, Norma. Hey, girl. Hey.
And we're gonna
We
get
love
that
you.
clarinet back in your mouth too.
Oh, okay. It's just a read away, right? All right, y'all, and that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until I see you the next time, I'll say peace.
Peace.